Stand up for your rights. Tertiary education skills. This recording lasts for approximately 33 minutes. It contains the following sections. This audio introduction. About this guide. Know your rights in tertiary education. General education skills. Disability Discrimination Act 1992. Reasonable adjustments explained. Access and inclusion plans. Individual responsibilities and skills. Before you enrol, disclosure and communicating your needs, during your course, starting the accessibility conversation, complaints to the Australian Human Rights Commission, need more information, related resources, websites for education departments, and closing announcement. About this guide. This guide is designed to help students who are blind or have low vision understand their rights and responsibilities within tertiary education. It provides clear, practical information about legal protections, how to request reasonable adjustments, and strategies for effective self-advocacy. Whether you're preparing to enrol or are currently studying, this guide was written to give you the knowledge and confidence you need to access support and succeed in your education. We understand that it can be hard to feel confident enough to advocate for yourself or a loved one. To explore the basics of speaking up for yourself in more depth, you can listen to the guide, Stand Up for Your Rights, Speaking Up for Yourself. Know your rights in tertiary education. Knowing your rights helps you understand what's possible, what's fair to expect, and how your needs should be met when it comes to your education. Most of the time, education providers do the right thing, but this isn't always the case. That's why it's helpful to be aware of the laws and policies that protect you, so you feel more confident speaking up if something doesn't feel right because of your blindness or low vision. General education skills. There are some key general skills that can support your success throughout your studies and beyond. These include dedication and perseverance, effective study habits such as preparation, organization, research, and a genuine commitment to learning, familiarity with available print resources and adaptive technologies, clear communication skills, including the ability to be proactive, assertive, and firm while remaining polite and respectful when advocating for your needs, a willingness to seek out knowledge, both related to your course and from other supportive resources, and a solid understanding of the education system, including key staff members, policies, and procedures. Disability Discrimination Act 1992. The Disability Discrimination Act 1992, DDA, is an important law that protects you from being treated unfairly because of your disability. It ensures that everyone has a fair chance to learn and participate, no matter their abilities. The DDA talks about two types of discrimination. 1. Direct discrimination. This happens when you are treated unfairly simply because of your disability. For example, if you are not given access to certain learning materials just because of your vision, like presentation slides. 2. Indirect discrimination. This occurs when a rule or requirement puts you at a disadvantage because of your disability. For instance, a school mandates that all exams be completed in handwritten form without offering alternatives like digital submission or assistive technology for students with vision impairments. What does the DDA mean for education? Section 22 of the DDA talks about education, making sure that students with disabilities have the same rights as everyone else when it comes to learning. This includes enrolment in school, access to learning materials, participation in all activities and classes, support services, and protection from bullying and harassment. The DDA standards cover education delivered by preschools and kindergartens, public and private schools, public education and training places, such as TAFE, private education and training places, such as private business colleges, universities, and organisations that prepare or run training and education programs. For a comprehensive guide on the DDA, listen to the guide Stand Up for Your Rights, Understanding the Disability Discrimination Act 1992. Reasonable adjustments explained. The law also requires schools to make reasonable adjustments to help students with disabilities take part in education. every student deserves a fair chance to learn and succeed at school. Under the DDA, you have the right to reasonable adjustments. But what exactly does that mean? A reasonable adjustment is any change or action that helps you take part in education on the same basis as your peers. This could be something simple like providing class materials in large print, or more involved like modifying a classroom or allowing extra time for assessments. The goal isn't to give you an unfair advantage. It's about removing barriers so you can access learning equally and feel included, supported, and able to reach your potential. When to request a reasonable adjustment. You can request a reasonable adjustment at any stage of your education, not just when you first start. As you progress through school, your needs may change, and you can ask for adjustments to be made as needed. Because some adjustments take time to put in place, like equipment or changes to school infrastructure, it's a good idea to plan ahead when you can and discuss any adjustments you might need before starting at the school, so the necessary changes can be made early on. Reasonable adjustments to expect in education. Adjustments can cover many areas of your tertiary education, including modifying educational premises. This could involve things like adjusting the lighting or providing ramps to make the classroom more accessible, providing or modifying equipment. Examples might include assistive technology or other aids that can help to learn. Changing assessment procedures, for example, allowing extra time, providing alternative formats for tests or using oral exams instead of written ones. Adjusting course delivery. This could mean providing course materials in different formats or positioning yourself in a way that's most comfortable for you. Making an adjustment reasonable. An adjustment is considered reasonable when it meets your learning needs while also considering the interests of the school, staff, and other students. The school must try to keep the academic and assessment standards intact while making any necessary changes. Sometimes the school may suggest an alternative adjustment if they believe it would be just as beneficial and less disruptive for others. It's perfectly acceptable for schools to propose alternatives if the adjustments still meet your needs. When an adjustment is unreasonable. In some cases, adjustments may be considered unreasonable if they cause significant financial strain or pose safety risks. Schools sometimes refer to this as unjustifiable hardship. The financial cost of providing the adjustment, the impact on safety, public health, and the effect on other students and staff all play a role in this decision. It's important to note that unjustifiable hardship will vary depending on the circumstances of the school and the specific adjustment requested. In some cases, it's possible to still find a compromise that works for everyone. Timeframes for reasonable adjustments. You have the right to receive reasonable adjustments within an appropriate time frame. While there's no exact definition of what reasonable means, you can often gauge it by how you're progressing, both academically and socially. You should never be disadvantaged because adjustments haven't been made or because of long delays. To help ensure things move promptly, be ready to share information about how your vision condition affects your learning and what support would make a difference. Having the right details on hand can help speed up the process. Consultation. You have the right to be included in conversations about any adjustments you may need. Your input matters, and you should be actively involved in shaping what support looks like for you. Sometimes it can also be helpful to involve professionals like orthoptists, ophthalmologists, or adaptive technology consultants who can offer expert insights and help identify the adjustments that will best support your learning and participation. Unjustifiable hardship. When deciding whether an adjustment is reasonable, education providers can consider a range of factors, including the potential benefits, the cost, and the overall impact of the adjustment. In some cases, a provider may not be required to implement an adjustment if it would cause unjustifiable hardship. This could include situations where the cost is prohibitively high. However, it's important to understand that cost alone doesn't automatically mean an adjustment will be refused. Prohibitive cost is just one example of unjustifiable hardship. It's not a separate rule. As a student, you're not expected to consider these factors when requesting support. Your role is to communicate what you need to participate and succeed. It's up to the education provider to assess what's reasonable, considering not only financial cost, but also other considerations, such as health and safety, public welfare, and the potential effect on other students and staff. Access and inclusion plans. Your education provider may have a disability action plan, or similar, that outlines how it plans to remove barriers and support inclusion for students with disability. These documents often detail the steps being taken to prevent discrimination and improve accessibility. Knowing whether such a plan exists can be helpful in your self-advocacy. You can refer to the provider's own commitments to strengthen your case when requesting adjustments or raising concerns. Individual education plans. At an individual level, making reasonable adjustments is usually the best way to meet a student's specific learning needs. If you require a range of adjustments, it can be helpful to formalise these in an individual education or learning plan. This plan can outline what adjustments are needed, who is responsible for implementing them, and when they will be reviewed. At many tertiary institutions, if you're registered with the Disability Support Office, which may be part of a broader student services or welfare department, your learning needs and agreed adjustments will be documented. This helps ensure your adjustments are implemented on time and can reduce the need to renegotiate support at the beginning of each semester. Individual responsibilities and skills. When advocating for your rights, it's important to raise any issues as early as possible, even if you're not able to handle every detail on your own. You are not responsible for the barriers that exist, and you don't need to exhaust every option before seeking help or lodging a complaint. Disability support staff are there to guide you through the process and help identify what steps you can take. They understand the challenges of navigating complex systems and can help lighten the load so you don't have to face these obstacles alone. At the same time, your right to participate fully in community life also comes with the expectation that you treat others with dignity and respect. When advocating for your needs, this respect helps create positive and constructive dialogue that benefits everyone involved. Before you enrol, choosing the right education provider for you. Before enrolling, it's important to research your intended education provider. Check their website or contact them directly to learn about the disability support and assistance they offer. Some providers may require you to register with disability services before classes start, so knowing this early can help avoid delays in implementing any adjustments you might need. Understanding what kinds of adjustments are available, like education aids, extended exam times, and accessible infrastructure or technology, will help you make a well-informed decision about your education. Also, check whether the provider has a disability action plan, and if so, take time to familiarise yourself with its key provisions. Online learning. Almost all university courses now include online components, even if they are primarily delivered on campus. If you plan to enrol in a course with online content, keep in mind that accessibility can sometimes be a challenge for people who are blind or have low vision. Common issues can include too many links, overuse of buttons that aren't user-friendly, excessive information displayed on one screen, making navigation difficult, and incompatibility with screen reading software. When speaking with the education provider, you might consider asking, "Do you have an inclusion or access policy? Have there been other students with similar disabilities, and how have their needs been accommodated? Does your online course content meet accessibility standards, such as the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines? If the online content is not fully accessible, do you provide alternative formats?" Disclosure and communicating your needs. When you are ready, you'll need to consider whether to disclose that you are blind or have low vision. This is a personal choice, but it's usually necessary if you want to request reasonable adjustments to standard practices. For example, reading materials are often provided as photocopied PDFs. Alternatives like an e-book version or higher quality scans compatible with screen readers might be needed. Think about how, when, and to who you want to disclose your vision condition, and most importantly, why you're sharing this information. To be an effective advocate, clear and straightforward communication is key. Being proactive assertive and firm, while also polite, respectful, and patient, will help your message be heard. Consider the impression your language creates. Using positive terms like inclusion, participation, and access can often be more persuasive than words like discrimination, disadvantage, or exclusion, even if those are the issues you're addressing. Generally, it's not necessary to disclose detailed personal or medical information about your vision condition. Instead, focus on what adjustments or support you need to fully participate when it comes time to access campus facilities, meeting course learning and assessment requirements, and engaging in social or recreational activities. Receiving the right support will help you become more independent throughout your studies and beyond. Tips and actions. Consider consulting an adaptive technology specialist if needed. These professionals can recommend tools and adjustments to support your learning, such as screen readers, magnification software, or specialized devices. If you're unsure how to find one, start by asking your education provider's disability support office. They often have contacts or can refer you to consultants who work with students. You might also look for local organizations that specialize in assistive technology for people who are blind or have low vision. Get in touch with the Access and Inclusion team and other student support services at your education provider. This is a good time to discuss your needs and begin setting up an individual education plan, IEP, which formalizes any reasonable adjustments you require. Contact your lecturers and tutors before classes begin. Let them know about any adjustments that may affect them, like providing lecture notes in large print or electronically, and consider requesting reading lists ahead of time to prepare. Attend Orientation Week and any other introductory activities. These events help you get familiar with the campus layout, find key locations such as lecture halls and staff offices, and meet fellow students to build your social network. During your course, building relationships. Building relationships and networking are important skills to have to maximize learning outcomes and success at any stage of education. Developing positive relationships with key staff can make a significant difference in your learning experience and success. Beyond your lecturers and tutors, it's important to connect with staff such as disability liaison officers, student support teams, or access and inclusion coordinators. You may have contacted them before starting your course, but maintaining an ongoing, constructive relationship throughout your studies will help ensure your needs continue to be met. These staff members can assist you in managing your studies, accessing relevant adjustments and adaptive technologies, and facilitating communication with teaching staff about your needs. Building positive relationships with fellow students can help make your experience much more enjoyable and contribute to your success. You might consider joining student networks or clubs to participate in social activities, attending student workshops related to study skills, writing, or time management, noting that some workshops may not be fully accessible, so check with support services, or regularly attending lectures and tutorials to stay connected with your course and peers. Keeping records. Having a reliable way to take notes is essential for keeping track of experiences, ideas, conversations, and decisions. Try to make personal notes as soon as possible after important meetings or discussions. This helps to make sure your records are accurate, since it can be hard to remember details later on. It's also helpful to maintain a timeline summary of all key conversations, emails, and meetings. This timeline lets you see events in order, which can be useful when you need to recall details or decide which issues to focus on in your advocacy. Starting the accessibility conversation. Not all academic or support staff fully understand the difference between accessible and inaccessible online content. Arranging a meeting with your course coordinator or disability liaison officer before classes start can open a helpful conversation about how course materials are delivered. Emphasizing your skills and ability to use technology can help them better understand what adjustments are needed to make the course accessible to you. Skills to develop or refresh. To support your success, consider improving or gaining training in areas such as general technology and computer use, adaptive technology and software, for example, Is JAWS compatible with your course software, and do you have the skills to use it effectively? Note-taking and record-keeping, maintaining a diary or timeline of key events, proposing practical solutions for your needs, and general self-advocacy skills. Raising concerns. If you encounter barriers to participation in your studies, it's important to raise your concerns as soon as possible to prevent a negative impact on your learning. Barriers are often easier and quicker to resolve when addressed early, before they become more serious or entrenched. Start by speaking with those directly involved, such as your teachers and lecturers, and approach the discussion with a clear goal. Explain what the barrier is, what changes you'd like to see to address it, and any ideas you have to make those changes happen. Before the discussion, consider the rights and responsibilities of both yourself as a student and the education provider, so you can be realistic about what changes might be possible. This is also a good time to negotiate or review reasonable adjustments. You can have this conversation in person or in writing. Whichever way you choose, make sure any proposed or agreed adjustment are documented in writing so you can refer back to them if needed. Choose to be assertive. When discussions become frustrating, it's natural to feel emotional or even act aggressively. On the other hand, not speaking up when your rights aren't being met can mean being too passive. Assertiveness strikes the balance between these extremes. It means standing up for yourself and your rights while respecting the rights of others. Keep in mind that resolving issues often requires multiple conversations. Adopting an assertive approach helps you build respectful, productive relationships and increases your influence in reaching a positive outcome. Advocate with clarity and boundaries. When advocating for changes to meet your needs, empathy can sometimes be helpful, but it's important to remember that your primary responsibility is to clearly explain what you need. You are not expected to fully understand or take on the perspective of disability support staff or other university personnel, especially when doing so may be draining to you. Advocacy in an education setting can be complex and demanding. While it can help to identify common goals or areas where you and the education provider's staff might align, you should never have to assume they automatically understand your needs or how to meet them. Being clear and focused on what you need and what you can reasonably expect will help you be effective in your advocacy. Formal complaints. If the barriers to your participation persist, despite raising your concerns with those directly involved and support staff, you may need to consider making a formal complaint to your education provider. Understanding both your rights and the provider's rights and responsibilities is crucial to achieving a successful outcome. In addition to familiarizing yourself with relevant anti-discrimination and inclusion policies, it's helpful to know whether your education provider has an established complaints or grievance procedure. Being aware of this process will help you know what to expect once you submit a formal complaint. Key information to include in a complaint. When making a formal complaint, you may want to include the following information. Depending on your situation, some points may be more relevant than others. Subject: clearly identify your correspondence as relating to disability access or support. Disclosure: briefly explain the relevant aspects of your vision condition and describe the specific barriers you are facing in accessing classrooms, course materials, websites, or other requirements. Impact. Describe how these barriers have affected your ability to fully participate, for example, being unable to access course notes or online content. Reasoning. Explain why addressing this issue is important, such as how it will help you succeed as a student. Previous attempts. Outline any efforts you've already made to resolve the issue informally. Desired outcome. Clearly state what you want to happen to resolve the problem. Request for action. Specify what you expect the provider to do, including a suggested time frame for removing the barriers. Response time frame. Ask when you can expect to receive a reply so you can plan your next steps accordingly. You may also want to highlight aspects of the current situation that are working well for you to show that participation is possible and to support your case. To increase the chances of a successful outcome, it's important to present your complaint in a reasonable and collaborative way. Try to prepare your complaint when you feel calm and have had time to consider possible solutions. It can also be helpful to ask a trusted friend or fellow student to review your complaint before you submit it. For more guidance on how to make complaints that can lead to positive change, you can listen to the guide, Stand Up for Your Rights, How to Make a Complaint. Complaints to the Australian Human Rights Commission. Many advocacy efforts succeed without needing to file a discrimination complaint with the Australian Human Rights Commission, AHRC. However, if your education provider is not meeting its obligations and you have exhausted other options but still face barriers, you can also go straight to the ARHC or your state's anti-discrimination body. Making a complaint is free, you don't need a lawyer, and help is available if English isn't your first language. Need more information? For more information on ways to advocate for your child, learn more self-advocacy strategies, or to obtain this guide in another format, call Vision Australia's advocacy team on 1300 847 466 or email advocacy@visionaustralia.org. Related resources. Vision Australia National Call Centre. Telephone 1300 847 466. Email info@visionaustralia.org. Australian Human Rights Commission, AHRC. National Information Service, 1300 656 419. Email infoservice@humanrights.gov.au. Web, https://www.humanrights.gov.au/complaint-information. Anti-Discrimination Commission Queensland, ADCQ. Statewide Telephone Information and Inquiry Line, 1300 130 670. Web, https://www.adcq.qld.gov.au/contact-us. Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission, VEOHRC, Inquiry Line, 1300 292 153. Web, https://www.humanrightscommission.vic.gov.au/making-a-complaint. Equal Opportunity Commission, WA, phone 08 9216 3900, email eoc@eoc.wa.gov.au, web https://www.eoc.wa.gov.au/complaints-inquiries, that's spelled INQUIRIES, /making-a-complaint. Anti-Discrimination Board, New South Wales. Phone 02 9268 5544 between 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Email adbcontact@justice.nsw.gov.au. Email complaints@adb@justice.nsw.gov.au. Web https://www.antidiscrimination.justice.nsw.gov.au/pages/adb_1_making-a-complaint/adb_1_making-a-complaint.aspx. ACT Human Rights Commission, phone 02 6205 2222, email human.rights@act.gov.au, web https://hrc.act.gov.au/. Northern Territory Anti-Discrimination Commission, phone 1800 813 846, email antidiscrimination@nt.gov.au, web https://www.adc.nt.gov.au/index.html. Equal Opportunity Commission, South Australia, phone 08 8207 1977 between 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Email eoc@agd.sa.gov.au, web https://www.eoc.sa.gov.au/eo-u/making-complaint. Equal Opportunity Tasmania. Phone 03 6165 7515. Email office@equalopportunity.tas.gov.au. Web https://equalopportunity.tas.gov.au/complaints. Websites for education departments. Commonwealth Department of Education and Training. https://www.education.gov.au. ACT. https://www.education.act.gov.au. New South Wales. https://www.dec.nsw.gov.au. Northern Territory. https://education.nt.gov.au. Queensland. https://education.qld.gov.au. South Australia. https://www.decd.sa.gov.au. Tasmania. https://www.education.tas.gov.au. Victoria. https://www.vic.gov.au/education. Western Australia. https://www.education.wa.edu.au. Closing announcement. This recording was produced by Vision Australia in 2025 in the interests of information accessibility. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken on the basis of this recording, nor for any error or omission. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting, or public performance is permitted. This document was last updated by Vision Australia's advocacy team in August 2025. Your narrator was David Tredinnick. This concludes the recording.